The following programming is sponsored by Polish American Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Power
is on our floor, 15 to 20 million.
General,
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. And today is May Day. It's International Workers Day. It's unbelievable how time has passed so quickly. We were just talking about January the 1st, the beginning of the new year, and here we are already on Wednesday, May the 1st. Welcome to our broadcast. Kindly contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in, then sit back, relax, and enjoy. And as I always say, and as I always nicely hear from people in my travels, and also through the internet, and also those that are listening on Alexa and Facebook, people like our message, and they are encouraged that someone is out there actually promoting the well-being of the United States of America. Remember, you can listen from anywhere in the USA simply by logging onto AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. That works on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. And then in the afternoon, you can tune in to listen anytime. And of course, hear the broadcast, which many people tell me they listen to on the way home. Some people tell me I don't even listen to the news much anymore because it's all frustrating text being, you know, spoken through the radios and on the television. So I'm trying to do my best to just know what's happening, know the weather, know what's happening on the road driving home, but I'm not interested as I once was to know all the national news. And I also want to compliment our panel members who help us out to make sure that we have some good points of view here on our broadcast, and they include Mark Andel, who we will hopefully hear from today. He's on a special meeting, a special outreach meeting, and he may be calling in to give us a little bit of an update. And with us is Larkin Conley, a national small business advocate, Bruce Bassett Powell, a SCORE associate, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, and very pleased to be with you. And as I say so often, I welcome your suggestions. I love hearing what you have to say. Send the message to Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. That's Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I'm always very, very pleased to include a lot of the information in my commentaries, and also when I go on other radio broadcasts to talk about American made and American workers. I learn a lot from people, and I have a lot of your thoughts and suggestions, which, by the way, is almost the same as people in Jersey and Delaware and Philadelphia and all of Pennsylvania. They all have the same thing to say. What is going on in America? They say, we spoke about this just the other day. It said, it was a question like, what's happening in America? And I said, well, we're witnessing America the way national elected leaders are allowing it to go through. We don't have any goals in America anymore. Our Congress, our president, our governors and all, there's no goals that are setting us to be outstanding. America is a great place to live, and people do not appreciate it. And it's really should also be the best place to do business, as it was for 200 years. American leaders also didn't set barriers. This is what we're going to do. This is not what we're going to do. This is what we're going to allow. This is, you know, it's like the stop says the red light, go says the green, wait says the yellow light flashing in between. You know, ladies and gentlemen, for many, many years, America dictated the way to do business around the world. That's not no longer the way it is. Today, foreign countries who bought up our businesses, who took on the production of all of these products that are now made in foreign countries, they dictate the terms of business to us, we the American people. They say, well, we're going to slow down on making that because we're doing this. This is how we want to do it. How did this happen in the greatest country on earth? I don't know. It's just it's just something that we need to talk about. And I'd like to welcome Larkin Conley. Larkin, how are you doing, guy?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Larkin, what are you thinking about all this that's going on here in the United States of America? Do you feel that anybody's concerned about American workers, America's businesses, America's future? If there is, give us some names, some ideas of what you feel is being done to help the United States.
Well, first of all, I wanted to tell you that I woke up in the middle of the night. I oftentimes do this. I get up and I roam around a little, makes my wife nervous, but whatever. And oftentimes find myself in front of the television watching some news program. Last night I was listening and I was aghast at what I was seeing live. Absolutely aghast. And all the networks were there. They were all trying to cover it. And what I heard at Columbia University was death to America, mm-hmm. death to America. Oh, but first, please pay off our student loans.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, Larkin, I hear the same thing, and people tell me that's why they don't even want to look anymore, because they don't want to be discouraged. You know, Larkin, I'll ask you, I'll ask Bruce, I'll ask Henry, and hopefully Mark, what's the bottom line with all the protesters? What is really the bottom line? First of all, this is America, not another country, not the Middle East. We can't tell the Middle East what to do. As countries, we're supposed to sit down and work with one another. That's what they started the United Nations for. And it just seems that nothing is coming together, especially lately, with all the inflation that started and things like that. We're not the Middle East. We can't tell other countries our demands, like they're saying, stop investing in this and that. Well, first of all, by the time those contracts and all come up, it's going to be all this hopefully will be over. But there's just no leader that I could say is trying to do something for America. America has to always be number one. All the other things that are happening in the world, Larkin, that's understandable, and we want to help those people, but we have to help America also.
Well, you know, Michael, here's the problem. We have created circumstances that we don't know how to correct. And my fondest example of this is there are 34,000 registered students at Columbia University. 34,000.
Right.
19,000. Mm-hmm. That's 56%.
Right.
19,000 of those students are not American citizens.
Right.
They're foreign students. They've got more foreign students than they have American students. And this is one of those universities that's given overwhelming amounts of federal funds to I guess, educate foreign students. It's just crazy. Why would we not take care of our own first? And if at the end of the recruitment season, if there's, you know, 150 positions open, then well, then open it up.
Larkin, I'm glad you brought that up because I know a professor in New York. And you know what he told me? We need, because the population, you know, such a small population growth in America, in order to fill seats, not only at Columbia, but in many, many major universities, they have been welcoming students from around the world on those student visas. The problem is the students from around the world, many of them are coming from countries that are not free, and it's wonderful that they're able to come here, but it should not be at the expense of the American dream. No student should be screaming death to America, America go to hell, and all this stuff. This should not be permitted. If you don't like it, pack up and get the hell out. That is the way I feel. This is, you know, and you know, I really feel, quite frankly, I did look at a few of the protesters yesterday, and I agree that a lot of these protesters are professional people that go place to place to place. Now, they interviewed, unfortunately for this woman, she got caught on camera yesterday. She was at another university about 500 miles away, bringing them flags, banners, and, you know, organizing materials. Then she came to New York to build up there. You know, the flags. Can you, I mean, you know what's strange to me? When I looked at a lot of the signs, all the signs are the same signs, no matter which state you go to. And where did all these students get these flags and all? Professionals brought them in to degrade America for giving money to help Israel or help Ukraine or whatever. Whatever, they're trying to degrade. If they don't like it here, they should go. Pack up and leave town. Will anybody be worried that they left? Not me.
Not only should they leave, pack up and go, pack up and get thrown out.
Yes. And you know, here's something else. When you are here on a visa, you are supposed to obey all the rules and regulations that come along with those visas. When you apply for a student visa or to come here to work over the summer months or whatever, you must obey. That's part of the visa. The rules and regulations. You don't come to America to do whatever you want. You're coming to work, study, and whatever other reasons you have to come for a visa, be it to visit family or whatever. You just don't come here. And yet no one in the media, I blame a lot of the media, and no one in the government officials are speaking up the way they should. You know, government is derives from an old term in Europe. Governor, govern, 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 govern. Government is just the structure of this going on. That's, I told somebody who said to me, Michael, government owns everything. I said, wrong. What do you mean? I said, government owns nothing. The taxpayers own everything. Government is just there to manage the schools, city hall, and whatever else, taking care of the roads. They're simply managers. We, the people who pay the taxes for generations and generations in the future, are number one in this country. A person didn't like what I said because it's one of these people that's, you know, is able to pull people up that government is this and government is that. Government, I told that person too, by the way, you work for we the people. If you are working to get paid just the taxes that you pay into the government, you wouldn't be able to have your job. So you better be grateful to the taxpayers. The thing is, Larkin, these people are professional protesters. Just look at the people, at the protesters. Why are they covering their faces? That's a question. Many of them go from place to place to keep the crowd up, the numbers up. They know when, oh, let's really go wild in New York today, or let's go to this place or that place. Now, there's something very fishy about this, and the people better start speaking up. All the mayors and the governors and everybody else should be on the news media every day speaking up about it, and let's see how much they'll be covered. Yes, Larkin, I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's okay. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. And NC State, North Carolina State, the police department down there arrested 100, and don't hold me to that, the base number, but it's just slightly over 100, 107, something like that. And people brought them in, interviewed them, and they said, America shouldn't be surprised to discover only 23 of the 100 that were arrested had any association with the school.
Right. I agree. I see that. Some of those are not school-age people when I'm looking at them. If you took off all that face covering and all, you'd be very surprised. That's why I say these people are bussing it in from place to place to keep the crowd up, to keep the message going, screaming America's this and that. Listen, and those students, this is a notice to the students. If they get arrested, that should go on their visa record. It should go on their visa record. That means when they are finished, they have to leave America and they may not be welcome. Because if you're coming here to cause any kind of disruption, you should not be here in the United States of America.
Well, I'm still a firmer in the freedom of speech. And I think there are ways of expressing oneself when you disagree with what your government's doing. That's one of the beauties of this country, is that you can do that without being jailed, Mr. Putin. And so I think we need to protect that. But as soon as they started taking over buildings, all bets are off as far as I'm concerned.
Well, another thing is, Larkin, I spoke to someone yesterday and they said to me, freedom, you're absolutely right. It's something that we were discussing. They said, freedom of speech in America for something concerning America is wonderful. But speaking up about a government of a foreign country, there's nothing America can do about that. You have to present those types of things through the United Nations. Like, they could be screaming, I want Mayor so-and-so to do this and governor. That's not going to happen because that's not how it works. No governor from any state in the United States is going to call over to the Middle East or any place else and tell them the people are protesting, you should do something about this. That's not how diplomacy works. And these people just simply don't get the idea of it. And that's the media's fault. Because if you notice, Larkin, they are focusing on people. In fact, when the people go on the interviews, they focus on the people that have a few things to say. And as soon as it becomes like, oh, this is not a radical enough person, I'll move to the next place. No. Why aren't these people in the media looking out for American workers, America's businesses? Like I said, We allow too many things to go in this country, go on for 40 years now. It's 35 to 40 years. I say around 35 because it started, they say 40 years ago it started, when foreign countries started to buy this stuff up close, quietly, and take it to other countries. They would buy things lock, stock, and barrel, and just move it overseas. It was quiet. Now we're sitting back and we're being dictated to as one of the greatest countries on earth. How did we allow that to happen? How did people in Washington see that poverty was going up? Employment opportunities for the future of America were not long-lasting. And today, Larkin and Bruce and Henry and everybody else, it's bad because businesses are saying, because of the low amount of workers available, we're going more and more to automation. That's not good. I was in a store last week, and the person, I said, why are there no cashiers? And the lady was very nice, and she said, because we can't find enough help. And I said, is it decent? She said, it's $18.50 an hour, and we can't find enough help. So by having this self-checkout, we are able to, you know, the stockers and all, everything, we, you know, people substitute doing this and that. But when it's the checkout, it's very difficult because you have to sort of be, you know, really with it, and the credit cards and the cashing, you know, giving the correct change and all. So she said, this is how it's done. It's all computerized. And now that we learn to do that and not have less problems, that's how we are doing it. All the cashier stations are there, but not everything is closed. You go through self-checkout. Are you finding that, Larkin?
Yes, but I try to refuse to use those self-checkouts for a variety of reasons, not the least of which, you know, somebody could be employed doing this and learning,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, gathering some remedial lessons, and it's gotten to a point now that we have a convenience store chain up the street that says if you're 3 minutes late, you're fired. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's a little stiff. But then I thought, well, let's find out what they're supplying from their end. You know, you do this and this is going to happen. But I checked, and I think I've even mentioned it on the program. Their start for the guys that empty the garbage cans is $18. Mm-hmm. Cashiers start at $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as employers, they expect, I'll pay you this. It annoys me a little bit, but I'll pay. But boy, don't you be a minute late.
Yeah, well, no. Mm-hmm. You know what? The government had a plan to do this kind of tracking a while ago. I know we have some government buildings here in Philadelphia, and you have that pass to get in the building, and now it's also a time card. And the time card goes to your electronic record, and it tells them exactly when you came, when you left, when you went out for lunch, or whatever. It's really unbelievable. But that's the way people are trying to do it. And when they're told you have to be in a certain amount of hours in order to have this job, I mean, this is what it's becoming. The day they learn to even become more strict about this after the pandemic. In fact, in Philadelphia area, we're still trying to get people back on their regular desk job, in the office at the desk. Some places will let you come in 3 days a week and not come in five, as long as you check in from your house and your computer is seen as being active. They have all ways to keep track of that now. It's unbelievable. You know, even kids in school, they when they have a day off, everybody knows when they sign in for the class, say 9 o'clock, they sign in for the class, that they're sitting there. If the teacher says, I'm expecting a response, then you, everybody goes to the response. The teacher knows that you are there because you're responding upon request of the teacher. So it's so many things technology has done for us. But we also have to look at the future of America and American workers. You know, Bruce and Henry and Larkin, I have great news for all of you. In the last few days, you may have heard this where you are too. America's high school students are really pushing to restore the trades and job skills programs in their schools. And I will tell you why. It's been noted on a number of programs, and I'm very pleased to compliment the television stations that have been speaking about it, because without the skilled trades and technology jobs, we're done. We're finished. People are graduating college with a bachelor's degree sometimes, and they're graduating, but they have no place to go. The people are not there trying to bring them in and train them. They're looking now for people who are trained to do the job. So that's, they want people to be trained to do the job. And this is the way it is. And of course, we have to remember that the most important thing that we can do as America's taxpayers is continue to speak up to government people. Remember, govern and ment. It's our structure that we decided that we are going to allow to happen in this country when we signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And yet there's no government people looking out for us. The rules and regs of the Constitution were very good, but what's happening as a result of it, it's not there. Government was looking to promote workers. At that time, it was more farmers and things like that. But today we need skilled workers. We've been begging people for the last 20 years to get this in the schools. Luckily, I am hearing it in the news media. I'm grateful to hear that people are talking. We need more skilled trades and technology workers ready to assume millions and millions of jobs here in the United States. Because as people retire, there's nobody to take their part. There's nobody to take the job. Millions and millions of openings could be filled today with skilled workers, but they're not being filled today because the skilled workers aren't there. But there's one big key that was said during this report, that trade and technology students are finding that those jobs pay well. That's the key. There's more discussion about it because they're finding out that those jobs are paying very well in many cases, because electricians and computer programmers and all are not that easy to find when you're going out in a business atmosphere. If you're a computer programmer, you might be able to do it with your own computer. But when you're setting up a network in a business, you really need someone who's going to come in and do it professionally according to the standards that you need to keep your business operational. So I'm really pleased to hear that. We're going to push that in the continuing future. But Larkin, did you see any announcement about that? More and more, they said that 15% of the students in the last year graduating high school and who are in college are looking now to get into trades and technology classes. Have you heard that?
I haven't.
Yes, it's very. Look it up, and you'll be very pleased. Just Google it.
Stop for a second, will you?
Yes.
I live in a small town here, and we've just got a new school board, and this is happening all over Texas, actually, is they are creating trade programs in all high schools around here.
Beautiful. Love it.
And they are, that's largely because of some pressure that was put on the school board. So it is happening. You know, we've got a small university, two small universities here in Victoria, and they haven't rioted at all. In fact, they've just gone about their daily classes as they always have done. It's the beauty of small towns. They don't get contaminated from all the stuff that's going on up in Austin and elsewhere. So the stuff that's going on is not at all universities, and we should recognize that.
Very good. You're right, Bruce. It's important that people speak up wherever they go. School boards, stores, say, I'm looking for American made. I had this experience too. I went to buy some greeting cards, and while I was in the store, I look at the back. Naturally, people see that I'm doing that, and I say, you know, loud enough for the person near me to hear it. I say, great, this is made in America, just to give a little. And they say, yeah, well, isn't everything? And, you know, people just don't think that things are made in America. And in my conversation, we looked at the cards that were made foreign in the same store and made in America. And you know what, Larkin and Bruce and Henry, everything is the same price. Now, we were brainwashed for many years in America to think that if something was coming over and was foreign made, it was going to be much cheaper. Maybe if you went to certain stores, it would be a little cheaper, but these were the same price. And that's what, you know, sort of brought my attention. And we started a very nice conversation. And I mentioned to her that we are doing a lot of things on our radio broadcast and stuff like that. And she said, no, you know, I'm in such a rush all the time. I just come, I pick up what I need and I go. I really don't look at anything in the way of labels. But she said, after this conversation, I'll start to do that. I said, please do, because we need everybody starting to do this. Without the American people putting their budget money into American made, we're not going to allow ourselves to grow. Foreign countries continue to dictate to us, as they have for the last 30 years, maybe 35, where we were always, you know, the workshop of the world, sending goods around the world, and we're not that anymore. Our ships come in, you know, they're down to the water because of so much freight on them, and they leave way high because the containers are very, very poorly filled with stuff going from America to these foreign countries. So American workers, it's very important. And I have to say this to you too. Many of the radio broadcasters are starting to have a little more heart for the American worker. I hear it in the radio stations. They'll say, yes, well, we need to help our local American workers, but they don't get really into more than that. But that's a start. That's like opening the window and getting some fresh air in. What do you think, Larkin?
Well, you know, I go back to the same old thing, which is, how did we get in this position? What happened? And there's a group of senators and congressmen, mixed party, on TV, and I forget which program it was, talking about this very point. How did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happened because the American economy is built as free enterprise, and free enterprise dictates that you do what's best for the business. And at that time, what was best for the business was buying or using foreign labor, because ours had gotten so out of hand with unions and all the rest of that stuff that was going on. I'm not for or against unions. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, that it got to a point that we matured to become a country that was giving workers representation and walkouts and strikes. And, you know, you think back, we used to be the only country that even manufactured automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Mercedes-Benz people were probably sending bullets over towards me, but we really, you know, own the car business around the world. And the fact of the matter is, we let that slip away from us as a country because United Auto Workers were making $60 an hour and $80 an hour. I think I told you about me making a trip to the Ford F-150 plant in Virginia Beach. And there was that, we were sitting in the lunchroom and there was a guy came in and was started sweeping and everybody kind of made a fuss over him. And I said, what's going on? Well, he retires today after 30 years. And he retires with a pension equal to the amount of money he's being paid to work. Well, what did he do to get that? Well, he showed up for work. And I thought, wow. We just haven't done a very good job of protecting our own business. And it's a little bit of the politicians. They could have, I guess, made laws that said you can't do this or so much of what you buy should be bought in companies in the U.S. But at the same time, we're sitting here arguing and discussing this, and the government allows Nippon, which is one of the largest manufacturers of steel and a Chinese company, we allow them to buy, I think they're keeping the name, United States Steel.
Right. That was about a month ago. They had a big promo on that. And the thing that I don't understand in America is the defeatist mentality. They say, oh, well, it already happened. They bought Nippon Steel. They bought United States Steel. They bought whatever steel company. Is there nobody in America looking out for American workers, America's future? And it's when you say manufacturing steel, that does not only mean the people who are manufacturing the steel or making cans or whatever. It means the people who work in the office, the people who ship the products, the people who do all the electronic stuff. Yet none of that's considered. They just say, oh, well, that's the way it is. This is the way life is in America. You know, Larkin, you said something about the people and not a free market economy. I have some concerns about that anymore because the free market economy is good. However, how is that helping America's future at this time? The free market economy was good when we had the workshop of the world. America was known as, wow, you need something, you get it. But today we have to start looking out for America. I wouldn't be concerned if they had something on the election ballot says the people are requesting a referendum that says 50% of everything sold in America that is now being made in foreign countries has to be restored to being a competitive product in America over the next 3 years. Do you have a disagreement with something like that on the election ballot?
Completely. Listen, Bruce wanted to make a point that we were talking about the other day, and I think it's a very valid point.
What, Bruce, about Elon Musk going to China?
Yeah.
He's basically gone to China to share all the his technology with the Chinese. because he's giving slumping sales in America of cars, and he wants to collaborate with the Chinese. I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
What do you think, Michael?
No, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we really need some kind of a board of governors here in the United States of America. Not the governors of the states, but a board of governors that are looking out for the well-being of jobs in America. We don't have anything like that. In other countries, they do. There are people that are the people who go out as diplomats to other countries talking about, you know, what they can offer you at this price and that price. We don't have people like that in the United States because it's a free market economy and you do whatever you choose. But we should see now that after 30 plus years, we're losing our shirt. The world is now seeing that we do not react for the well-being of American workers. And so why not continue to just grab everything up? People tell me very often, and I know because of how the people in investments work, and Larkin Conley, you could invest 20% in something. Bruce, you request you invest 20% in something. I invest. And then one day we just get together, the three of us, and we say, we want control of something, and that 60% of the investors, we take over the company, we do what we want because we're 60% of the investor ownership. And that's something we're not protecting in America. As I said, I know some they call them headhunters, that are going around looking in America for business people who are ready to retire. What they're looking to do is buy the business, take over whatever product that person was making, distributing, and then it's another thing that they have in their portfolio. This is now ours. And that's the problem. People tell me about their tires on the car. Tires were mainly made in America for a century. Today, you go to get a new set of tires, where are most of them made?
Bahama.
This is the problem. And yet there's no board of governors that talked about Lee Tires or whichever company had the biggest assets in Pennsylvania. Nobody's saying a word. Lee Tires and others are now just distributing the tires to the dealerships and all the places that they're getting shipped in from foreign countries. It's no longer that America's making, we're just distributors. Yes, Bruce.
Don't we have a commerce department that should be doing all this?
I tried to call that commerce department a few times for a few people, not myself. And I want to tell you something. I have no idea. The new technology, thank you for calling. Kindly leave a message and somebody will get back to you as soon as possible. And guess what that soon as possible is? And if you do get someone on the phone, they say it would be better if it would be better for you to call back and put the message on the message machine rather than me taking it down and handing it off to the next person.
And then demonstrate outside the Commerce Department.
Well, somebody has to start a movement for America. We see what movements, how much attention they do get. Wouldn't it be nice if we could turn the television on and see people in the state legislatures saying how they were going to do something to revitalize this particular industry in the country that has been here for 125 years and grew so big, and now it's going over, it went overseas 10 years ago, and we need to put a competitive product on the street because we still have the land, we still have people that could be trained, and that product could be distributed here in the United States of America. You don't hear that. Government at that time says, oh, well, we can't promote any particular businesses. Why not? That's what the Department of Commerce is supposed to do. They're not supposed to be going around and making sure that your soil and all is the best and the best quality and all that. They should be going out to say, this business is up for sale. Who's going to buy it? United States Steel, that's such a huge company. And a foreign country comes in and buys United States Steel? Larkin, do you see any sense to that?
Well, no, I don't. And I think if you went to Japan with a pocket full of money and tried to buy Nippon Steel to get that back, they'd tell you in so many words, I'm sorry, we don't do commerce like that. You're gonna have to leave the country.
Your visitor visa is now over. Thank you. Come and visit us again in 5 or 10 years. That's the way it is. You know where we are, Larkin. We have a lot of tourists come here, and you speak to the tourists, and they say, one lovely girl said something to me which I thought was very well said. A good thing it came to my mind. She said, there might be too much freedom in America. I thought to myself,
that's too Russian?
No, not at all. No, she said, there might be too much freedom. In other words, in her country, and I've been to that country, everything is nice and clean. Everybody is respectful. I know what exactly she's saying. You know, it's the abruptness sometime you meet in different stores and restaurants, and people act like they're doing you a big favor by bringing you the food to the table and all, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I had myself a situation where a server told me recently, I was with a group of people, and said, if possible, I'd prefer, listen to this, I'd prefer the tip in cash. And the reason for that is because if it goes through the credit card, then of course the people at the restaurant know that she got a $25 or $35 tip. But if she gets cash, she does as she chooses.
So restaurants have been directed to add up all of the tips, all of the receipts of a particular waitress. And, of course, they can tell you that in 3 seconds because it's all computerized now. And they want the restaurateur, and they do, take the tip. At 10%, I think it is 10 still. 10, I'm sure it's not 15, but whatever. And they charge that waitress or waiter as though that's what they've received. So they really are in the backseat of everything if, in fact, the person leaves nothing. And there are characters out there that do that all the time. Leave nothing. And I always have kind of felt, why should I be responsible for paying her wage? Well, my son set me straight on that one by saying, if you don't, that's fine, but you're also going to pay $87 for a flank steak. So, you know, it's pay me now or pay me later.
I was out here in a particular area, Philadelphia, and I was speaking to one of the people, and they said to me, because of inflation, we would have, someone would come in and have a few wines. Now that person maybe will have 2 wines, and that's it. Because wines were $6 a glass, And in some places now, it's $8 and $9 a glass for the same amount of wine that you got 3 years ago. When the pandemic was over and you went out to the restaurants, you received that same glass of wine exactly, you know, where they, how they pour it, the exact level. And that was $6. Today it's $9. So you have to think. Three nines is 27 and two nines is less. So that it's just killing. In other words, what the lady told me is we're getting the same amount of sales, but we're not processing through our system additional products. In other words, not additional food, not additional beverages, because people cannot make a dollar into a dollar and a quarter to go along with the inflation that America is experiencing. They just can't do it. And so she says we are suffering because, you know, they're buying less. We're moving less. And that's the way it is. I see it in the stores. Every store that I go to, people are looking to buy less and looking for the right price. And luckily, many are looking to support American workers. And sometimes you go to the store and you go to the counter, and I don't care what nation of the world the person is from. I ask them, I'm looking for this that is made in America. And they look at me and they say, does it matter? I said, to me, it does. Oh, well, I don't think we have that. Our distributor doesn't have that. You know, whatever they give us, they have all ways of brushing the people who are the customers off. Oh, we didn't get that. Our supplier must not have it. You know, they have all kinds of ways. But it's time for the press. And they've been doing a little bit better with promoting the idea of trades and also technology programs, because we're suffering from something in America nobody wants to, you know, understand. And that is people are at an age of retirement. And if there's nobody to replace them, Larkin and Bruce, what happens to those jobs?
Oh, they get computers thrown at them.
And if the computer's already there, what's the next thing they look to do if they can't find workers? Go elsewhere, wherever that product is made. And by the way, I meet up with some of these people who, you know, some agree and some disagree with our thinking, not my thinking, our thinking that we should have more made in America. These merchandisers want to tell me how important it is. Listen to this. I love this. How important it is that we, as the people of the world, employ people of the world. So everybody has a bite of the apple. Not American. Don't worry about the Americans. Worry about people of the world. That'll make the world a happier place. I said to the one guy, I said, well, did it make the world a happier place in the last few years? We have more conflicts in the world than I have ever seen. Have you seen more conflicts in the world, Larkin, in your time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they have no chance of slowing down until we get the people who are doing this demonstrating until we get them involved with the answer, not the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just the way they should feel like, well, you know, here's what we should be doing. Everybody says, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Let's give that a try.
Bruce, in your situation there, working with your SCORE people, How are the new people looking to go in business feeling these days?
Well, you know, it's I've worked with
people every week who want to start a business. There's all sorts of things. There are all sorts of hurdles that they have no idea how to mount without help from people like us. So it's very difficult. But, you know, life goes on. And I think people pretty much like to do what they can do with our help. And the rest is up to them.
Well, I'm glad that there are great outlets out there. I'd love to see more and more of the need for this type of outlet. And maybe with these people that are focusing now on new trade jobs, technology jobs, are going to help more industries feel that they have a stable place to employ people and circulate their products. Circulating the products is number one. When people tell me, I agree with you 1,000%, get somebody to bring me more American-made products in my store. Last week, someone put in the newspaper as a response to one of my commentaries. They said, well, I don't know. I thought maybe you have to go to more union people. Maybe go to the Made in America store. And, you know, I said, yes, that's exactly right. The problem is there's not enough of these places out there to send people. We need to get them back in every community. Every possible outlet should have no less than 50% of their products available to their customers. That's 50% made in America. When you say that they're getting 10, 9%, some 0%, it doesn't make sense. This is America. We have to start doing something that focuses upon our future, our children, our grandchildren, their children, and their grandchildren. Has to be our number one priority. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it's time for us to say great day. Thank you, Larkin, Bruce Bassett, Powell. And of course, we'll hear from our good Mark Andel next week. He's at that special conference today and he'll give us a report. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spreading the word. And do send me your comments and suggestions and the situations that you just send me a few lines, whatever. And this happened to me and I'll try to keep mentioning those things on the radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spreading the word. Remember, the email address is michael@americanworkersradio.com and click on the front page of American Workers Radio. And you'll also see that debt clock that we also talk about so much. You will be very educated. It's right in the middle of the page now. Until we get together again, stay well and be happy. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the May edition of National Small Business Weekend. Go out and support all of your local businesses. Have a great one.